Do you have one for us, Pastor Joe? A frap rap?
You know, I actually was going to introduce Spencer last week, and I couldn't because I was still under the influence of narcotics. Less tonight. So I'll do the one I was going to do for Spencer last week. How's that? All right. So, Spencer, here's your introduction last week, even though it's this week. All right. Let's see. Oh, okay, here we go. You'll see him up on campus, wants to see the kingdom come. You'll see him playing worship. He's the T-Rex on the drum. You'll see him on the highway, all up in his grandma's car. He's S-P-E-N-C-E-R. There we go. There we go. I might that post that on social media later so you guys can share that with him, which I know he would love. So, yeah. All right. I'm going to start things up tonight. I need some volunteers real quick that have $20 cash. All right. I'd love to have two from UVI and two from WSU. And, okay, $20 cash. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. And you can keep the cash potentially, or you might be able to upgrade. It depends on what you like, all that stuff. Okay. So come on up, $20 cash. Great. All right. Come on. All right. So all you guys, here you go. All right. So with this. Oh, and can I get a mic real quick? I'll use one of these. Maybe go. Should I go white back there? Cody Jordan. Okay, white. All right, great. So here's the deal. So you guys have opportunity to trade your $20 cash for something that may or may not be more fabulous. All right. And so we'll have you guys do this real quick. And I just want to hear kind of thought process. Name, please, for everybody's sake.
Christian.
Christian.
All right, Christian, go first.
Whoops, one mic for me. Christian, so here are your options, Christian, all right? For $20, okay, and you can just keep the 20. That's all right, okay. $20, you can have Welsh's Natural Concord Grape Spread, okay, 27 ounces. That's about $3.39 actual retail price, all right. Now, why would you exchange that for $20? If you love natural grape, Welsh's and everything, and that's your passion, you need to have it right now, then, I mean, that's kind of the way addictions work, all right? But so you do that, and it's... you know, for convenience. It's available right now. All right. We also have here Adams 100% natural crunchy peanut butter. This is the 80-ounce thing. I would pay $100 for this if I needed it, which I need. That's an addiction. Actually, retail price on this is about $20.59, depending on where you get it. Okay. So that you come out ahead potentially in store prices if you did the peanut butter. Okay. This is all you guys. All right. And the next thing, well, let me do this. This is... You're going to laugh. This is Sherwin-Williams, okay? Emerald urethane, okay? See, some people know. Some people know. My people. All right. Let it shine, baby. So, Emerald urethane. This stuff is the most amazing trim paint on the planet right now. It really is. I walk into the store. Retail price is about $96 a gallon. We get it a little cheaper than that. I can't say how much. I've signed paperwork that says that I can't profess it publicly. But about $96 worth of paint, okay, if that's your thing. And last but not least, all right, you can have, and this isn't going maybe the way that you would like it to go, but you can also, for your $20, you can exchange your $20 for a $25 gift certificate to Mod Pizza, okay? All right. You can only choose one, and as I said, you can also just keep your $20. There's no shame in that, all right? So, Christian, I'd like to know what you would like to do with the opportunity that's been presented to you and why. All right, Christian, tell us what you're going to do and why. So we have a divided crowd, all right? Yeah, that's okay.
Probably the pizza.
Okay, and why?
Because I don't have a use for paint. I live in a dorm room. I don't have a use for peanut butter or jelly because I don't have something to put it on. The gift card, I can use basically whenever.
Excellent. And where do you live, Christian?
I live U of I Tower.
Oh, that's a little handy as well. Okay, mm-hmm. All right, great. Okay. All right, so, you ready? There it is. $20. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure doing business with you, even though it cost me $5. That's all right. All right. Man, he's getting help for just keeping the $20? Oh, no, he's getting 20 more dollars. All right. Your name for our crowd tonight, please.
Rodrigo.
Okay, Rodrigo. Rodrigo, please declare your intentions.
Okay, well, I don't need paint. Even though I could maybe sell it, I'm not like that type of person to go out and resell it.
Wait. How many people believe that? Is it? Okay. Just checking. All right. Okay.
Peanut butter, it's obviously been in room temperature for a while, and it looks not well.
Hey, people are like, this man doesn't know his atoms, right? Okay, come here.
I don't like Welch's jelly. I like more, I'm more of a jam person.
Okay.
And Mod Pizza is kind of gross.
You gonna keep your $20?
I'm gonna keep my $20.
Okay, all right. All right, I respect that. Respect that. All right.
Awesome. Northside for the win.
Okay, all right. Your name, please,
He's keeping his money?
Yes.
Okay, question. First of all,
your name, please, for the audience.
Isaac.
Hey,
hi, y'all.
Isaac.
I'm Isaac. I'm from Wazoo. Go Cougs!
That's right. Okay. First question. Is this full?
You know, it looks to me. I mean, I've lifted a few cans of paint in my life, and I think that it's probably down half a cup. Yeah, it's a good question. Good question. It's probably down half a cup. Yeah.
Are you telling the truth?
Yes, sir. Because I could be struck dead by lightning up here if I didn't, you know.
Okay.
LA. They leave room.
No, I have a question.
They leave room for pigment when they tint this stuff. And this is L8, has very little pigment in it, and that's why there's a little space here. It's a great question.
So I would choose the paint, and I'm going to resell it. I'm going to sell it and get like $80 back. People are willing to buy it in Pullman. Back to who? Pastor Joe for more?
Well, I mean, I own it right now, so I may not buy it from you, but it does have value.
I'm not gonna pay anything. I'm gonna resell it. That's what I'm saying.
That's tough. That's tough. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it actually $90 though?
Yeah, but that's full price. You know, people usually would wait for a sale on paint that's $90 a gallon. You know, and so, and then you put it on Craigslist. You may or may not do better than $20 on Craigslist
that's
or
risky.
Something.
That's risky.
It is risky.
I'll take the Mod
Pizza. Yeah, I can't blame you. I can't blame you. All right.
Pizza.
Yeah. All right. Excellent choice. I'm gonna take the mic. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Nice. Yep. You bet. I think that's a good choice. It's a good choice. All right. Awesome. Now, I think it's interesting to look at that. You know, there's to look at the decisions that people make and everything. And it can be hard to figure out what is the value of something. What is the value to each person? I think especially if you live in Idaho and you live across the street from Mod Pizza almost. You know, and Christian's like, Christian's life, it's like right there. That's pretty handy and all that stuff. He just made $5, you know, and away we go. It's in good shape and everything. Paint, if it was me I didn't already own it, I would definitely buy that paint for $20. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. We just saved $40 on paint right there, you know. But if you're not a painter, you don't have a lot of use for that unless you're into graffiti and nobody's willing to say, you know what, I'm going to have some fun tonight with that gallon of paint. I'm here in a Christian group. That'd be kind of awkward, and so we're glad nobody said that and everything. The Adams peanut butter is delicious stuff, but you got to mix it. It's kind of messy. You got to have something put on also. Mason, there's a lot that goes into making a decision, a lot that goes into it. And I think ultimately, part of what we have to figure out is what's valuable to me, right? What is valuable to me? The paint is very valuable to me and not very valuable to anybody else, except I liked Isaac thinking I could maybe make some money on this. That's really probably the only way. It is very valuable to me and not very valuable to anybody else. I love peanut butter and jelly, but it doesn't cost as much as that costs me on a regular basis. It's a big deal. Value is in the eye of the beholder, so to speak, and all that. And what I want to talk tonight about a little bit is what value do we put on things? What value do we put ultimately, really, fundamentally, on our faith? Because we make value assessments all the time. What we saw up here, which was like, this isn't that hard. Well, it is a little bit difficult, maybe, whatever. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to take the mod, whatever. We make decisions like that all the time without thinking about it. And we make decisions like that about our faith all the time without even realizing it. It doesn't even cross our mind. We just kind of make these quick decisions on a subconscious sort of level, and we're going, what is most important to me? I've got this thing in front of me, and I've got this decision to make, I've got this thing to do, and everything, and make these value assessments, what's more valuable, and move on them and live our lives based on these things. This one, not that big a deal, okay? But some of the ones that we make in life on a regular basis matter a lot, and we have to decide, what is it that I'm really going to do? And if we wait until we're in the battle, in the heat of the moment, to figure out what am I going to do with this whole thing, then a lot of times we're going to lose. We have to make value assessments ahead of time, or we're going to flunk the test often in life. We're going to struggle as we go through it and going, wow, well, right now this looks pretty good, that looks pretty good. We have to figure out, what is it that's important to me in kind of the quiet moment, away from the battle, away from the peer pressure, people telling Isaac what to do and all that stuff and everything, and away from all of that to go, what is it that is important to me? And that's what we want to talk a little bit about tonight. We've got the scripture up here that we're going to show you, Mark 10. This is verses 17 through 23, 22. And this is, Jesus is kind of going through life, and this stuff happens to him because he's Jesus. I love this. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him. Maybe he's out of breath, we don't know. And he asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is asked questions about 300 times in Scripture, and he only gives a direct answer a couple times. Most of the time, the vast majority of the time, he answers a question with a question. He wants to keep us thinking. He wants us to make an assessment. He does this here. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. He's saying a lot right there in and of itself, right? So he goes on here, and then Jesus goes and gets into a little bit. He says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. There they are. And this man says back to Jesus, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Like, I'm good. So? And Jesus looking at him, and I love it. It doesn't say he judged him. It doesn't say he was critical, cynical, anything like that. Jesus looking at him, loved him, and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Wow. He made a value assessment right there. He had to decide in the moment, what am I going to choose? I got two things in front of me. What must I do to have eternal life? To have eternal life. And staring down the barrel, so to speak, of eternity, as Jesus is laying this out for him, my choices are eternal life or give up my stuff. He walked away from eternal life and stuck with his possessions. Isn't that profound? He had the wherewithal to come to Jesus and ask a very pertinent question. What I care about is eternity. It even says he ran up to him to give him a little bit of the idea of the posture of his heart. And there's hunger in him. There's zeal in him as he's pursuing Jesus and going, what is it I must do to have eternal life? He comes running with a bated breath, waiting for the answer from Jesus. And Jesus discusses this thing a little bit, and when it's all said and done, says, you've got to take what you have, sell it, give it to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. And he chose his stuff over eternal life. We look at that and go, are you kidding me? Are you crazy? We think, you know, if I ask that question, okay, and I'm talking to Jesus himself, talking to Big J, whatever, himself, all right? There he is with the flowing hair. I'm like, it's Jesus. We run up to him. We kneel before him. Oh, you know, it's like seems like the appropriate posture. You know, down on his knees. Jesus, what do I need to do? And we think, if I was face to face with him, this would be a really easy thing. And it is not. It is not. Because this guy had great possessions. Ultimately, it comes down to this. It's not so much what we possess as much as it is what possesses us. It wasn't what he possessed, it was what possessed him. And face to face with eternity and figuring out what is it that's really going to own me, the things I own are going to win. They own me instead of Jesus. We got this little quote up here. You're going to hear probably as you go through life a little bit, okay, that it's not so much, okay, what we have, but what has us. The issue is not so much what we have, but what has us. We often are completely consumed with what we have, what we don't have. If I just had this, things would work. I have this, and things are going to finally work now. I finally have the three-bed, two-bath house on the cul-de-sac and 2.4 kids. The American dream is mine, you know. I did it. I reached it. We think what we have is going to somehow bring us fulfillment, and it's not what we have. It's what has us. It's not what we possess. It's what possesses us that's the issue so many times in life. And if we have that whole thing messed up, and we're going to make some value assessments that seem maybe a little bit ridiculous, my stuff versus eternal life. And if we don't make those decisions ahead of time, we're going to lose in the heat of the battle. And that's part of what Jesus is telling us in this whole thing. It is amazing. The big test, ultimately, is simply this. Is my life submitted to Jesus? Is he Lord? Or is something else calling the shots in my life? Is something else calling the shots in my life? And ultimately, it's not going to be something. It's going to be ourselves and our view of what it is that we think we need to live a successful life and for this whole thing to work. And if we're not prepared for it, we're going to fail the big test when it comes. The question tonight is this: what does our faith mean to us? What does your faith mean to you? Really? Faced with the same moment, faced with the same circumstances, most of us would fail the same way. We walk away sad. We're going, no way, Yahweh. Pastor Phil brought 10 students up. Some of you saw it on a Sunday, 10 students up, and went through the statistics that 9 out of 10 students are not even going to profess to be Christians when they came to campus as Christians. 9 out of 10 are going to walk away not even professing to be Christians. And all of us think, man, that's not going to be me. Never going to happen to me. I got a text from some parents during dinner right before CTF tonight. We kind of have a no-phone policy at dinner, which is a really good thing, I think, except for emergencies. This was an emergency. It was parents asking me to contact their son. So their son hasn't gotten involved in any place yet. Will you please contact him? And I've been doing this a little while, and I've been through a few of these circumstances, these situations, and I can tell you it's kind of awkward for someone to get a text all of a sudden, hey, this is P. Joe. And you may have heard me do that Spencer rap, you know, earlier tonight. Anyway, hey, just wanted to see if you want to come to CCF with me. And they were like, who is P. Joe? Who does he think he is? And where did he get my number? You know, it doesn't go well, okay? Right? And so I texted the parents back and said, I would be delighted to contact your son. I'd love to do that and everything. But it works out way better if he's expecting it and wants it. Could you ask him about that, if it'd be okay for me to contact him and know what he says? And they're like, great, we'll do. And they got back to me like about 2 minutes later, shows up my phone. He doesn't want anybody contacting him. But thank you for being willing to try. we'll be praying for you. And tears in my eyes, I'm texting back, I'm so sorry. I'll do whatever I can. I'll be praying, and maybe by the grace of God, I'm just going to bump into this gentleman on campus, and God's going to set something up. Maybe one of you are going to bump into him on campus, and his story is going to be, I was running, and God intervened in his grace and mercy. Because we so often will fail the test. I was talking to Suzanne about it. Just go, we don't know, is this gentleman a pastor's son? Are his parents in ministry? Our kids are at college someday. It's the same thing. It could happen. It's just absolutely terrifying. So we're contacting some pastor someplace in Virginia saying, hey, would you reach out to our son? We're concerned. Yeah, would you ask him if it's okay if I do? You know, so he's not going, have this guy get my number as he's stalking me on social media or something. This is creepy, you know, whatever. And to imagine one of our kids saying, do not have anyone contact me. We just, I mean, tears in our eyes. We're going, Lord God, you know, let it not be so. So easily, all of a sudden, something happens and we walk away sad because we are possessed by something that we never dreamed would possess us. Lord God, we lift up that young man to you right now. we join together right now with those who are gathered here tonight, with parents, maybe hearts breaking right now, God, and we ask for him, and we ask for thousands on our two campuses, that you would intervene, that you would use us, that tonight people would be sickened at the lies of the enemy as Jesus, you shine a light on it all and is exposed for what it is, that people would be tired of the mess, tired of the game, tired of the sham, tired of the counterfeit that the enemy spins and puts in front of us over and over and over again, and that they would be sick of it. God, we pray that you'd even use the authorities to intervene if need be. God, we pray that you would arrest in the spirit and even in the natural if you need to, those who need an intervention right now, and that Jesus, you would flood in to lives. We pray you'd flood in to parties. We pray you'd flood into people sitting alone in their dorm room, absolutely isolated and lost. God, we pray that you'd move in a radical way, Jesus, and that you would be the profound, consuming fire of our lives, Jesus. In your name we pray it. Amen. What possesses us? What possesses us? We'll find out. We'll find out when the chips are really down and we have these kind of moments. We just had it happen in the national news. You may have seen this. Here's a quick recap of what happened as here not long ago, there was a Caucasian female police officer that shot her neighbor, an African-American man, and he died, and this thing went to trial, and she was just this week found guilty and sentenced to 10 years in prison. A light sentence in some people's eyes, too much in other people's eyes, but here's the beauty of the story in this whole thing as Botham Jean is the name of the man who was shot. His brother Brant addressed her. Brant is 18 years old, asked if anybody had any comments they needed to make to her before she went to prison to kind of clear the air, get things. You know, a lot of times people just go, I just got to say, I hate you. You know, I can't believe what you did to me. And so that's the sort of stuff that happens there that can bring some sort of healing to some people. And here's what Brant Jean had to say to her as he faced her in court.
A powerful scene in a Texas courtroom. A man whose brother was shot to death by a Dallas police officer, forgiving his brother's killer and embracing her.
If you truly are sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. And I don't think anyone could say it. Again, I'm speaking for myself, not even bad for my family. But I love you just like anyone else. And I'm not gonna say I hope you rot and die just like my brother did, but I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
And the judge also hugging that former officer, Amber Geiger, and giving her a Bible after sentencing her to 10 years behind bars for killing a neighbor, an unarmed black man, in his own apartment.
phenomenal. He didn't know the cameras were rolling. He thought all that was done. There had been court TV through the whole process, and he thought that was all over, and it was just his sincere wish for her is that she would understand that she's forgiven and that she would turn to Christ. And 18 years old, some of his family members were disappointed at the 10-year verdict, wanted to see her in prison for much longer, wanted to see justice. They were upset when her sentencing was handed down. And then here he is in front of his whole family saying, I don't even want you to go to jail. I just want you to know Christ. I just want you to know Christ. We can understand, we can really ascertain the value of something by looking at what it is that will pay for it. And you look at that and you understand that for Brant Jean, who just lost his brother and went through this whole process and this whole thing, and you understand that even with his family not agreeing with him necessarily in the process, in the moment, in the motions of it all and everything, he just wanted her to understand that he forgave her, and that what was more important to him in the moment was not justice as far as everybody was concerned, as much as her soul and her being free and her finding Christ. So then the media jumps on this, and there's a few different things that are happening. You know, people are going, hey, man, you know, forgiveness, really what it does is it frees you. And there was a news correspondent that talked about it and said, actually, you don't do it because it frees you. If you're doing it to free you, it's not going to work, because forgiveness is first and foremost an act of love where you're letting go of something. And if your motive is selfish, I want to be free, it's not going to work. Your motive has to be love. I simply forgive you. I let go of justice. I let go of a just cause and just forgive you. It's the only way that it's going to work. It has to be love first, and then you'll find freedom. And then other people in the media got on this and said, hey, this shouldn't happen, because then people aren't paying for their crimes, and you just want to go, look, everybody, you can't have it both ways. You can't demand that everybody is punished and then also say everybody needs to be free all at the same time. This is the thing that's just crazy about what happens when Christ enters a courtroom, when the love of Jesus all of a sudden shows up, when everybody wants justice, and he says, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're going to sin no more. I just want you to find Christ. Profound thing. The world stands back and wonder. One of the things that separates Christianity from every other religion is forgiveness. There are a lot of languages that don't have a word for forgiveness, because outside of Christ, there's really no such thing. A penalty that needs to be paid in every other religion, and you spend your life trying to pay it. You spend your time in pursuit of something to try to make things right, and we understand in Christ there's nothing I can do. He did it for me, and that's what Brant expressed to her. You can identify the value of something by what someone is willing to pay for it. He risked everything in front of everybody, and the world stands back in wonder at the grace and poise of an 18-year-old who knows Jesus, who knows Jesus. He didn't sacrifice his faith in the moment because he wanted justice. To sacrifice is to give up something you love for something you love more, right? To sacrifice is to give up something you love for something you love more. What have you sacrificed for your faith? Have you said, I love Jesus more, I love him more, I love Christ more, I love grace more, I love forgiveness more than justice, and I can let go of justice. I can sacrifice justice for Christ and forgiveness, and that's what he did. What have you sacrificed for your faith? And maybe a more important question, what have you sacrificed your faith for? What have we sacrificed our faith for? Sacrifice, if you look back in the Old Testament, literally meant to put something on the altar and say, this is going to be destroyed in honor of something greater. I'm willing to for this thing to die so that that which is greater may be worshipped. And some of us, way too often, without even recognizing it, make a value assessment and put our faith on the altar and say, it can die so I can worship something more important to me. And that's what happened to the rich young ruler as he came running to Jesus saying, what do I need to do? And he clung to that which possessed him and sacrificed eternity on the altar. And some of us are way too often sacrificing that which matters forever for that which matters for a moment. And Jesus is calling us to something more. He's calling us to something greater. We'll have the worship team come up now. We'll wrap up. So what do we do about it? You go, that's really depressing. Thanks so much, Pastor Joe. Maybe it's good that kid didn't come tonight. You know, whatever you're thinking. What do we do about it? And here's the thing I want to put in front of you, okay? And this is something that has changed my life. It continues to change my life. And part of the pursuit, as long as there's breath in my lungs, all right? Jesus goes on in this passage of Scripture to say this. Matthew 6:21, he says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. When we take that which is most important to us and put it someplace, our heart follows. We go, this is the stuff that's most important to me. And we take that, we put it someplace, our heart follows. So cool, we've been talking about the 2020 vision and the Living Faith legacy and by the grace of God, moving beyond the debt that we've got as a church for our mortgage and retiring that so we can do lots of crazy other great things, do more campus ministry, more community ministry, all these things with those funds. Just going, let's take care of the mortgage payments so we're free to do some of this stuff by the grace of God. It's kind of the dream, the 2020 vision. By the end of 2020 here coming up and 15 months or whatever to be at that place. And we talk to our kids about it and we pray about it and they're given to that as well in the process of all this stuff. And after we've been talking for a while about some of the things would be kind of fun to do in our house to make some adjustments and move some walls. What we did where we got to surprise Suzanne was so fun. But it was more kind of focused on the decoration side of things, you know, and everything. We're going, it'd be so cool to kind of blow it up, open it up a little bit, all that. And that's kind of more the stuff that I think about than Suzanne. She's like, it's great. I love it. It's amazing. Let's not change a thing. You know, why would we? You know, and I'm like, okay, you know. And I love it that she doesn't want to spend the money to do this stuff and everything. But after we did that, she was kind of going, well, let's maybe talk about that a little bit more. Maybe down the road, be something we could do, you know. And so we're talking about it a little bit, and I was talking with Judah about that, our son, and going, hey, buddy, we're kind of thinking about maybe this or whatever, sometime, whatever, and he said this, and again, he's been mowing lawns and the stuff and giving to help make that happen and everything, all right? When you're a kid and you mow lawns and you get a little bit of money and you take a significant chunk of that and go, this is going to something, your treasure is going there, okay? It's not like just an extra dime or something like that. You're going, this is a significant chunk of things, and we're praying over this, and we're giving this and everything, and they've been putting some treasure in there, all right? It's a really cool thing. And so Judah says to me, he goes, Dad, doesn't like remodeling a house cost a lot of money? I'm like, what? You know, why are you, you're too young. That's what you should be just like, just spend it all. That, you know, what? He goes, doesn't that cost a lot of money? And I go, well, yeah, you know, it can. And he goes, well, our house is awesome. And what if we just took that and gave it to the 2020 campaign? I'm like, thank you so much for that. What do I do with that? That's great, you know. I'm stuck. Holy Spirit, Judah, I appreciate that so much in my life. It's beautiful because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. This is a simple little example. It's not about finances alone. It's not it. But when we take that which is important to us and put it someplace, our heart will follow. It will sacrifice our faith for something. Our heart will go to that thing. And if we'll sacrifice something else for our faith, something important to us, our reputation, our image, in the midst of a moment with some peers and whatever it might be, we just saw Brant Jean in front of his family and everybody going, I'm going to approach this different than everybody else. and he sacrificed justice for grace and forgiveness, that's treasure going someplace in his heart. Is there, and now is there all the more. And he's doing all these interviews, and people going, what is the deal with you? Especially at 18. And he's been able to talk to people about Jesus, talking to people about Christ. People are going, why did this judge give her a Bible? That judge might get fired, for they've got this recording of her giving this convicted murderer a Bible in court, and she might lose her career over the whole thing. And you know what? I bet she understands that. And I bet she said, I am willing to sacrifice my career for this young lady's soul, if this will help. Funny thing is that in court, everybody comes in and swears on a Bible. It's already sitting there anyway. God forbid we actually give somebody one. You know, whoa, freak out. It's so crazy what's happening around us. There are people taking a stand and saying, I am going to put my treasure where I want my heart to be. So I want you to think about that in our time of worship tonight, in our worship and song. First, maybe, what is it in our faith that we've been sacrificing on the altar of the world, our reputation, our image, whatever it might be? And where is it that those things need to be sacrificed for our faith? It says we do that, our heart will follow. A lot of times, if we're honest about it, we just go, look, my heart is not in it. All right? It doesn't matter that much to me. It's a preference, but not really a conviction. I wish it was different, but it's not. You know, some people are really into it, some people aren't. Some people are really emotional about it, some people aren't. Some people just are all passionate and zeal and whatever. I got the shirt, I'm afraid to even wear it. But if we put our treasure there, our heart will follow. Jesus says it there, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Take that which is most important in our lives, in the week ahead, tonight, and say it's going to Jesus. It's the woman with the alabaster box who poured out a year's wages at the feet of Jesus, took her treasure, said it's yours, it's yours. Can we do that with our hearts tonight? Can we do that with our lives in the week ahead? May that be our testimony, our mission, our aim, our purpose. Jesus, we don't want to follow you so that it just works out. God, we don't want Christianity to just be some ideology that seems to work and that we're part of right now, but it's going to fade sometime. God, we don't want to do it because it's some code of ethics that we think we need to adhere to, but we miss Christ in the process. God, we don't want to be about the things of God and miss God. We don't want to be Christian and miss Christ. We don't want to sing songs and worship. And so, Jesus, we pray tonight that we just come and lay it all down at the altar of our Maker, that we bring whatever it is we have and just say, God, it's yours. God, we ask you to move fresh in our hearts. You'd expose to us, Jesus, where some things need to be adjusted and changed, that we can lay them down and say, Jesus, it's all for you. You're not Lord of almost everything. You're Lord of all. God, we want the most out of it. Get that out. We just want you to be Lord of all. Lord of all. God, we pray that you'd free us tonight from those things that possess us, that we'd be able to lay aside our sin, the weights that so easily entangle us, that we'd be able to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus, we look to you. Jesus, we come to worship you. Jesus, we come to put everything else on the altar. Let it be sacrificed. Let it be done. Let it be gone. Jesus. In your name we pray.